I hope you think that we've got an interesting topic here today because everyone wants to be rich, right? Now, how many of you here think that you've got enough money? Anyone want to put their hands up saying, yes, definitely, I've got enough money. I don't need any more. Anyone fit into that category? No, I can't see any hands. Now, having enough money and being rich, I think they're popular topics for a lot of people out there. Because we all need money, don't we, to survive. And people out in the world generally, I think they're often talking about money. Think of all of the investment advice and various investment strategies that financial managers think up. And often you see ads on the television or in the newspapers or online advertising all of these things. When we think about all of this, we'll realise that a lot of human time and energy goes into thinking about money and getting rich. And we can add to that the general human desire to stay young and beautiful and not to grow old. See, it's one thing being rich, but if you're looking old and haggard, what can you do with the money? You've got to be young at the same time so you can enjoy the money. Now, anyone here with grey hair or wrinkles yet? I'm assuming there probably are. Well, those of you who think you're young and you don't have the problem of age, enjoy being young while you can, because soon enough, old age will start catching up with you, and it'll probably catch up with you sooner than what you think. Now, we can see the importance for many people of the desire to be beautiful through the growth of the beauty industry. A lot of celebrities these days follow certain dietary and exercise regimens and undergo all kinds of procedures in order to make themselves beautiful. Anything from the DASH diet to facelifts, nose jobs, eyelid surgery, breast augmentation, or going the other way, breast reduction, and Botox injections. And then there are those who think they look better with a tattoo imprinted somewhere on their body. I think that's actually a mistaken belief, because I don't think personally I've ever seen a tattoo that has enhanced the beauty of its wearer. Nothing beats natural skin when it comes to beauty. In regard to cosmetic surgery, it must be admitted that some instances of going and undergoing a procedure actually end up enhancing the physical beauty of the person in question. But we also have to say that in a lot of instances, cosmetic surgery ends up destroying the original beauty of the person in question, and even at times makes them look heaps uglier. So just be careful if you make that decision. There's a place for physical beauty. We need to acknowledge beauty where it exists. And we can do that as Christians because any physical beauty that people might have actually comes from the hand of God. And while there's a place for corrective surgery for obvious defects, to me it's better for Christians to eat well and to look after our bodies naturally through exercising and taking care of ourselves, without the need to alter the basic look that God has given to each one of us. Now, I think that this desire to change our basic physical look is often a kind of attack on God. It's like an attack on the way that He has created us to be in His image. And then there's the issue that Solomon touches upon in verse 22 here in our passage in Proverbs 11. And that is that physical beauty without spiritual beauty is totally out of place. Verse 22 literally says, a gold ring in a pig's nose, a beautiful woman, and the turning away of discernment. A gold ring in a pig's nose. Ever seen that before? I imagine that you haven't. But it is trendy for some people these days to wear nose rings. Why you'd actually want to stick something up your nose totally escapes me. But if a gold ring on a person's nose tends to look a little bit stupid, then how much more a gold ring on a pig's nose? And here, we need to keep in mind that for the Jewish people, pigs weren't just considered to be dirty animals. They were also considered to be impure. Now, personally, I tend to like pigs because I think they're kind of cute. A bit like Ham from Toy Story. He's cute, don't you think? But that's not how the Israelites thought about pigs. But back to the question, in what way is a beautiful woman, without discernment, like a ring of gold in a swine's snout? Any thoughts? What's the connection between these things? Ring of gold in a swine's snout, somehow like a woman, beautiful woman without discernment. Well, I'll give you my thoughts. Obviously, a gold ring is something that's precious and beautiful. It represents physical beauty. But the pig's snout, one of the dirtiest parts of the pig, represents spiritual ugliness or a lack of discernment. And the word translated as discernment in verse 22 there has as basic idea the idea of taste. As we taste things, we can distinguish or discern different tastes. So the idea of discernment in verse 22 has to do with distinguishing between what is tasteful and what's tasteless spiritually. A woman might have taste for fashion and the latest beauty products, but no matter how physically beautiful she might be, physical beauty without spiritual beauty is totally out of place, and it looks ridiculous, exactly like a gold ring hanging off a pig's nose. Now, how many people today are into physical beauty without thinking about the need that we all have for spiritual beauty or discernment? In fact, I can think of an example from just the other day. I was waiting for an hour and a half at Centrelink in Bankstown the other day because they wanted to see Evie's Medicare card. I think it had something to do with her immunizations. Anyway, there was a young woman with a young child in a stroller waiting in line. She was, I think, of Middle Eastern descent, and I think most people who saw her would say that she was physically attractive. But when she got to the front of the line, do you know what she did? Well, her true character was revealed. She demanded to see the manager because she had a young child with her and she couldn't wait around to resolve a problem that she had no idea about. All she knew was that Centrelink had cut off her payments without informing her of the reason, and she demanded to see the manager on a number of occasions. She came across as very aggressive. Now, the Centrelink officer looking after the line there, dealing with the people who were coming in, actually did a fairly good job because he told her in no uncertain terms to settle down, otherwise he wouldn't serve her. And she got the drift. This is a case of a beautiful woman, but only on the outside. Her beauty routine and fashionable dressing was a little bit like putting lipstick on a pig. For all her beauty on the outside, she was still bitter and unclean on the inside. So when it comes to beauty, as Christians, we need to be focusing in on our inner beauty. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, has some words of advice for all of us, but for women in particular, when he says, "Don't let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the adorning of the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Friends, it's good to want to be beautiful or to live in a beautiful location. Our God is into beauty in a big way. Just think of the beauty of a beach or a sunset or the panoramic vista from the top of a mountain overlooking fertile valleys. Think about the beauty of the moon, the beauty of the planets in our solar system. But without inner beauty, physical beauty, it just fades away. over time. And every morning when we look in the mirror, over time we can see that happening. And this is something that applies to all of the hopes of the wicked as well, as we see from verse 23. We're told that the desire of the righteous is altogether good, but the hope of the wicked is fury. Friends, as we align our thoughts with God's revelation, as it's revealed to us in the Bible, we will have good desires, desires that are pleasing to God. And those desires, because they're pleasing to God, will be realized. You know, we all long to be healthy, wealthy, beautiful, rich, and wise. But one of the good things about being a Christian is that God promises us that one day he will realize all of those legitimate desires that we have. That means that one day you will truly be beautiful. One day you will truly be healthy. One day you will truly be rich. But these desires will only be fulfilled if they match up with God's desires for us. But in contrast, have a look at the desires of the wicked. The hopes of the wicked will not be realized eternally. Sure, some of them might fulfill their desire to get rich by thinking up some kind of scheme to get rich quick. Some of them can look 10 years younger than their real age by getting thousands of dollars of cosmetic surgery done. But human attempts at wealth and health and beauty don't achieve everlasting results. Now, I want you to imagine the scene. A once beautiful woman who has spent tens of thousands of dollars on beauty products. She's had a tummy tuck, a couple of facelifts, and silicone placed in her breasts. She looks good for her age, I guess, but at 90 years of age, you can't do much. The skin elasticity, it's no longer there. And the surgeon's knife hasn't been able to keep up with the aging process. But for 90, I guess she looks pretty good, comparatively speaking, for her age. The only thing is, her lungs are starting to pack it in. And in fact, she's only got a few months to live. She spent so much of her time and energy on making herself look good physically, but she's done almost nothing to help herself attain the true beauty of a person who has inner taste and discernment. And what's it going to be on the day of judgment for her? Well, on the day of judgment, are those Botox injections going to help her? Are they going to count for something? All those bags of silicone? Are they going to do anything for her on the day of judgment? Her desire to be beautiful will be met with God's fury, and all of her hopes for beauty and life will be dashed. An eternity of pain and ugliness lies ahead of her because of her delusion that beauty literally is only skin deep. And friends, the same principle applies to being rich. So many people want to be rich, and they're running around, often like headless chooks, chasing the latest hot stock or the latest investment fad. Little do they realize that true wealth isn't what we make for ourselves. It's what God gives to us. True wealth, riches that last beyond the grave, all of that has to do with God's blessing. And the interesting thing about this is that God's blessing, we're told, is upon those who are generous. Now I admit, it seems totally counterintuitive. But the Bible teaches us that the way to true wealth doesn't lie in saving things up for ourselves. It actually lies in giving things away. Well, how does that work? Well, have a look in verses 24 through to 26. In verse 24, Solomon tells us that increasing wealth has to do with scattering what we have rather than saving it. How is it that the person who scatters will be increased again? Well, the scattering that's being talked about there isn't wasteful spending. It's strategic sharing. It's sharing with others, distributing blessing, following God's investment strategy. Now think about it. If God wanted to keep things to himself, he wouldn't have created this world. Through the very fact of creation, we can see that our God is a sharing God. He wants to share his love. He wants to share his mercy. He wants to share his power with us and even his glory. And the more that you are a conduit for the sharing of God's blessing to others, the more that God will be inclined to give you resources to do that. That is why the person who withholds what is right ends up saving his way to poverty, Solomon tells us. In verse 25, Solomon also tells us that a person of blessing gets fat. Now, most of us probably don't want to be too fat, but back then, being fat instead of skinny, just like in many Asian cultures even today, was a sign of wealth. Being well fed implies having enough money to buy good food. And so we can see from this that Solomon is telling us the more that we use our resources for God in blessing other people, the more that God will fatten us up with true wealth. It's because he's giving it to you in the first place in order for you to share it with others. And the more you share, the more he'll give you to achieve his purposes in showering blessing throughout the world. This is also why Solomon tells us in verse 25 that the person who waters others will himself also be watered. Now, in a harsh, dry environment, we know that water is a precious resource. And the normal way of thinking in that kind of situation is to see the scarceness of that resource and to keep it to ourselves. You might think that you only have so much, but friends, it's been given to you in order to share with others. And God promises you that as you share with others, God himself will also share with you. The simple fact of the matter is that God has created us to be conduits of his blessing to other people. Just like the way in which God shares himself and his riches with us, he wants us to have a similar attitude. He wants us to be generous, not to look at how much we don't have, but instead to look at how much we do have, which can be used in blessing others. So don't think of yourself as being poor. Think instead about what God has given you and how you can use what he has given you to be a blessing to others. And Solomon also encourages us to be generous even when it costs us in foregoing the opportunity for profit. Imagine the situation that's described for us in verse 26. There's a shrewd businessman who has been stocking up on corn with a view to cornering the market and sending the corn price up. But when the famine comes, there's a lack of corn. Instead of selling the corn according to demand, he keeps a lot of it back. He withholds selling the corn in the hope of a bigger profit further down the track. He's making a profit at the expense of other people's health. He might grow rich through his monopolization of the market, but the people will curse him because of his lack of generosity. And the implication there is that God himself, like the people, will also curse him too. But then contrast that with another type of businessman. In the midst of such a situation, there's a businessman from a nearby town. But he's heard of the need that exists in that neighbouring town, and seeing the need of the people there for food, he makes a decision to sell them grain, despite the fact that he could most likely have made more profit for himself down the track by not selling his grain right there and then. What will the people think about that businessman? They'll end up blessing him and viewing him as their savior. And Solomon tells us that blessing, just like we can see from that generous businessman, blessing is upon the head of the person who sells their corn in a time of need, even when it diminishes their profits. So altogether, in verses 24 through to 26 there, we can see that Solomon's teaching summarizes the teaching of the Bible in terms of giving and being rich. Basically, according to the Bible, if you want to be rich, then be generous. The more that you are a conduit of God's blessing to others, the more God will bless you so that you can be a blessing. All in all, today, what have we learned? Well, we've been reminded of the fact that true beauty has to do with spiritual discernment. True beauty has to do with knowing things from God's perspective, what's right and what's wrong. Inner beauty rather than external beauty. And we've also learned that true wealth, well, that's got to do with being generous and sharing. So friends, next time you look in the mirror, make sure that you remember that physical beauty is only skin deep. Don't forget the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And the next time that you're looking at your bank balance and you're tempted to sigh because you think you don't have enough money, remember that true wealth has nothing to do with your bank balance, but everything to do with blessing, blessing others. So don't save for yourself. Save in order to share with others. That is the only way to be rich eternally.